callback. First of all, let me start this callback thing by telling you this. There is no such thing as a good close. Now, I know what you do now. Guy says to you, I want to think it over. Well, all right. And then you go. And then a week or so later, you come back and you walk up to the door and you punch the doorbell or you walk into his office. And the first words you say, you jerk, you are, well, did you think it over? And he says, yes, no. Now, before we're through here tonight, I'm going to teach you how to handle I'll think it over. I'm going to teach you how to cash it. So that whenever he says I'll think it over, instead of saying, oh, hell, you'll say hot dog. But before we get to that, I want to give you an idea of the only thing you can do to save a callback situation that I know of. When you walk in to see this person that you have to call back on for a decision, you start out by saying, I'm sorry, sir, but the last time I was here, there was something I forgot to tell you. I think it's important. Now tell him something new. I don't care what it is. It's going to get warmer in Phoenix. Whatever. And after you have told him something new, you go on by saying, let me just view briefly the things we talked about last time. And now you give him the whole presentation all over again. I mean it, the whole presentation. The only difference being that this time you occasionally say, as you remember, you will recall, we said that, we agreed that, but give him the whole presentation. And go into a normal close. And don't ever ask him if he thought it over. Lost sale. A high percentage of this lost sale close, you've probably heard. Because for endless years, sales trainers have stood on platforms just like this and have trained part of this lost sale close. It was theoretically perfect, only one problem. Didn't work. Salesmen get real enthused, they go bouncing out, that's a dandy. High with it. I was in this booby trap. You love to talk about it because it's one of those things that's perfect, theoretically. One time I had a salesman who was a whole lot smarter than I was. He took this lost sale close and he put a switch into it that made it work. Old hat. And it works. With the switch. This is the close to be used when you've lost it. This is to be used when everything else you've tried has failed. He's red in the face, his fists clench, or you ran out of steam and quit. This is old hat. Pack up. And as you get to the door, stop, hesitate, turn around. This is up. Then you say, pardon me, sir. I wonder if you'd help me for a moment. Old stuff, old theory. Didn't work, but it's old theory. Here comes the switch. The salesman developed it. Before I go on, this is part of the close, may I apologize to you for being so inept a salesman? See, if I had been able to make you feel the way I feel about, for example, this home, you would have owned it now. Your children would be planning to play in this backyard, out of the dirt. Your wife would have been anticipating this wonderful kitchen. But your children aren't going to have this yard to play in. Your wife is going to keep on working in that old kitchen and cleaning that old home. And I want you to know that I know that it's all my fault. And I'm truly sorry. That's the switch. Now we go back to old. As you can see, I have to make my living this way, just so I don't make the same mistake again. Would you mind telling me what I did that was wrong? Boy, they'd tell this boy. And he'd say, oh, didn't I cover that? Boom. And he was right back in. Now, everything about this is old hat exology. Let me ask you something. Did you ever apologize for not making a sale? Let me tell you something. If there's a need for your product and the purchasing capacity is there, and if they didn't buy it, it is your fault, nobody else's. Don't go around blaming stupid prospects. This is stupid salesman. If they have a need or desire, if they qualify, and if they don't buy, it's your fault, not theirs. And you ought to apologize. And by the way, this works. But let me tell you something, when you use this apology, you better mean it. If you're at all cute about it, they'll toss you out. But if when you apologize to them for being so inept a salesman, if you mean it, and you should mean it, if you apologize with sincerity, you'll find this lost sale close gets you sale.
You might be a little uptight about even trying the lost sale close. And I will say this, it has to be sincere. You have to truly believe that they should own the product. They have to be totally qualified. They have to have the desire. They have to have the need. And if you use this close properly, with sincerity, and you really are sincere that you let them down because they are not saying yes, and they feel it from your heart, when you say to them, "Would you tell me what I did wrong?" If they like and trust you, and by the way, if there is a need, and they should own your product, you might as well try this one, because what have you got to lose? Nothing. Isn't that right?
Secondary question. A great good friend of mine who was once a salesman of mine selling an intangible business service. Toughest product in the world to sell. Tougher than insurance. Tougher than advertising. The toughest of all the intangibles is business service. He used to use this secondary question. He used it magnificently. And he used to use it like this. When he was ready to close, he'd say to a man, "As I see it, sir, the only decision you have to make today is this. Do you want this for the 2 or the 3 year term? By the way, do you want to use your pen or mine?" What did he do? Why is this a great close? And this is as great a close as you'll ever hear. What did he do? Let me repeat it. Now, as I see it, sir, the only decision you have to make today is this. Do you want this for the 2 or the 3 year term? By the way, do you want to use your pen or mine? What did he do? I'm sure there was alternative choice there, but that wasn't a simple alternative choice, was it? Here's what he did. He posed the major question. Now, as I see it, sir, the only decision you have to make today is this. Do you want this for the 2 or the 3 year term? But he didn't give the man a chance to decide, did he? He immediately followed it, minor decision. By the way, do you want to use your pen or mine? Do you realize that when the man made the minor decision, the major decision was carried, wasn't it? Now, this is secondary question closing. You pose the major question. But before they get a chance to answer it, you immediately give them a minor alternative choice. When they make an alternate, the major alternate automatically carries.
One of the ways we've updated the secondary question close is when you say, "As I see it, Jim, the only decision we have to make today..." At that point, we would then let them know the benefit they would derive by ownership. For example, "As I see it, Jim, the only decision we have to make today is how soon you and Mary, the pride of ownership of this lovely home. By the way..." And then your secondary question, when you use an alternative choice, it should be something they have to decide to do after they own the product. For example, if you're in real estate, you would say, "As I see it, John and Mary, the only decision we have to make today is how soon you start packing and getting into your new home. And by the way, as a service, I can turn on the utilities and set everything up for you, or would you rather take care of that yourself?" Now you see, when they answer that secondary question, who turns on the utilities, the entire transaction is closed, isn't it?
Sharp angle. This you save for that situation. Someone says to you about your product, can it do this? Can it do that? Will it do this for me? Will it do that for me? And now you sharp angle it by saying, do you want it if it does? Now remember, you must be able to do it. But in the making a sale, you hear this quite often. Someone says to you, well, will it do this? Now you sharp angle it. Do you want it if it does, instead of you're simply telling him, why, sure, it'll do that. This is what you've done before. Now you sharp angle him. Do you want it if it does? Will this cure warts and dandruff? Do you want it if it does? Now when he agrees that he wants it, if it's, you have your sale made upon proof, haven't you? But if you simply go ahead and prove that it does, you have no confirmation and no sale. This is sharp angling. Now I'm going to get into the two most important closes probably that we'll have here. Closing on a final objection, and I'll think it over. I've always called these two closes my $10 combination. Because if you master these two closes, your income will increase by at least $10,000 a year, and I'm not kidding. Of course, this is the point at which I usually say anybody in this room who does not want an additional $10,000 a year may hereby leave. Nobody ever goes. Closing on a final objection. Now, let me set the scene for you. Normally, when you reach for your first close, a man seldom says no. Normally, he gives you an objection. Isn't that right? What do you do? You answer the objection. Does this get you a close? All this does is pop another objection. Now you get involved in this death knell of saying, can he think up more objections than you can answer, or can you answer more than he can think up? And as fast as you kill one, he pops another. Now, would you like to have a method of taking the first objection that you hear and making it the last one? All right, here's how you do it. Now, I'm going to give you a formula first, and then I'll go back and the formula. Step one, hear him out. Step two, sell him his objection. Step three, confirm the objection. Step four, question it. Step five, answer it. Step six, confirm the answer. Step seven is close it. Now let me tell you how it's done. First of all, as I said, hear him out. Don't make this mistake of salesmen, hearing three words and thinking you know what he's going to say. So you jump in and try and answer this thing that you think he's going to say. Or even if you guessed right, he's going to be irritated. And the odds are you haven't guessed right. So listen to his objection. After you have listened to his objection, you now sell it to him. Here's how you sell him his objection. You expand it, and you look defeated. You've got to look licked. Well, as I understand it, sir, you feel that the gas mileage on this car just isn't good enough to save you the amount of money that you think you have to save on the operation of an automobile. What have I done? I've looked a little defeated. I don't get enough gas mileage on this car. I expanded it. I looked a little licked, and now I confirm it. Now, that's the only thing standing between us, isn't it? I mean, if it wasn't for this darn gas mileage thing, why, you'd go along with me today. Is that right? If he says yes, he's dead, isn't he? Now, if you look a little bit defeated, he now says yes, because he doesn't want to hurt your feelings. Honest, he doesn't. So he says, yes, that's right. If it wasn't for that, why, sure, I'd go along. All you have to do is look licked. I like the car. If that was, he'll watch him. He'll get run. He'll grab this bait if you look licked. Now, the next thing you do, you question it. You confirmed it by getting to agree this was the only thing standing between you, and you questioned it by saying, and again, you take the blame. Just to clarify my thinking, sir, why do you feel this is so impossible in terms of mileage? And now you shut up. Why that? Why should you ask him about this objection he just gave you? Huh? What are you going to gain? You'll find out if it's the real objection, number one. Anything else you might gain? Whether it's prejudice or fact. What happens? When he tries to explain this to you, one of these things happens. Number one, he does explain it. Now he's hooked on it even further, isn't it? Of course, I'm assuming you can answer the objection. If you can't, you're in real trouble. Number one, he actually re-explains it and hooks himself on it hard. Or number two, in the process of trying to explain it, he pops the real objection. Or number three, and I wish I could tell you how many times this has happened to me, in the process of trying to explain it, it looks stupid even to him. I mean it. Endless times I've had men try to explain one of these things to me and all of a sudden look at me and say, oh, hell. Because it didn't even make sense to him anymore. But he's told me this is the only thing in the way, hasn't he? Where does he go from here? Well, let's assume he reconfirms himself to this objection. Now, what do? You answer it. After you've answered it, you confirm it by saying, now that completely doesn't it, sir? By the way, what was your correct mailing address? Where does he go? Will you tell me? He has told you this was the only thing standing between you. And in many cases, he's told you very enthusiastically if you look licked enough. Are you enough of an actor to make this work? You are. It's worth money.
Let me jump in and add something that's so critical at this point. When you hear the objection the first time, don't respond to it immediately. Bypass it till the end of your presentation. The reason for this is twofold. Oftentimes, you can overcome that objection in your presentation or dwarf it with benefits that make it so small it won't come up again. Or it's amazing how oftentimes they will forget the objection if you don't hang on to it and try to handle it now. The words for that bypass go like this. John, I understand your concern. With your permission, I'd like to note that as an area of concern, and let's discuss this and any others you might have at the end of my presentation, okay? Now, that was a bypass. If it comes up again, it's real, or if at the end of the presentation they bring it up again, then you would follow it to step number two in the process that Doug just covered.
So now let's go on to the next one. The greatest single problem you have in selling. I'll think it over. Of course, if you've never, don't bother. And boy, they do sell it to you, don't they? Tell you what, I'm just not the kind of person that likes to make snap judgments. You let me sleep on this overnight, we'd probably go along with you, but I just hate to... I can't make a decision right now, but let us think it over. You've heard this, haven't you? When a man says to you, I'll think it over, you say to him, that's fine, sir. Obviously, you wouldn't take your time thinking this over unless you were really interested, would you? I'm sure you're not telling me this just to get rid of me. So may I assume that you will give it very careful consideration? See, he thinks you're going to let him go. This sounds like it, doesn't it? He thinks, hot dog, this guy's going to let me go. So he agrees all the way. Yeah, he's going to give it very careful consideration. Just to clarify my thinking, sir. You want to set the hook now? Just to clarify my thinking, sir. What phase of this program is it that you want to think over? Is it the integrity of, name your firm? Is it my personal, what are we doing to him? We're summary closing him. You remember that summary close? Well, now what's going to happen to him? You're going to say, well, is it this? No. Is it that? No. Is it that? No. All of a sudden, he's going to reel on me. And he's going to say, yeah, that's it. Well, now what have you got? You got a final objection. Now close on the final objection, and you tell me where he goes. You see, the problem without thinking it over is a very simple problem. There's nothing to get your teeth in. What you have to do is to take I'll think it over and reduce it to a specific objection. Because you can handle an objection. You can't handle an intangible. Now, in this I'll think it over close that I just gave you, there is one point where if you stop for breath, you'll blow the whole bit. You think you can find that point? Come on. Call it out. No, careful consideration is not it. That's fine, sir. No, you can stop for breath there. Would you? No. Just to get rid of me? No. He's got it. What phase of the program is it you want to think over? Is it? You see, if you say, what phase of the program is it, sir, that you want to think over? He says, the whole thing, and you're dead. You've got to get into that first, is it, without stopping for breath. But once you get into that, it, you start really moving in on it. Now that's I'll think it over. And let me tell you, learn to use it. Because I guarantee that if you can use it with skill, when they say I'll think it over, you'll say, hot dog. I own this one. And now finally, I'm going to try and lead you to cut your own throat. Because I'm going to point out a closing opportunity that has laid in your lap 5 to 10 times a day, every day of your lily-licking lives, and you've muffed it. You've muffed more opportunities to close than you can possibly imagine. I'm going to prove it to you now, simply because you had to talk too much. Did anyone say to you, for example, can I get it in green? And what do you say? Yeah, you can get it in green, you jerk. Question closing demands that you say, do you want it in green? Now if he says yes, he's bought. Could I get 30-day delivery? You jerk, you say yeah. The smart salesman says, do you want 30-day delivery? Now when he says yes, he's bought. Do you offer a quantity discount? Do you want a quantity discount? Yes, he's bought. Where have you been? How many of these opportunities have faced you every day of your life? It's faced every person in this room. How many times a day do people ask you simple questions, please? And you sit there and open your mouth and tell them yes. Yes, we can do it. Now, where is he confirmed? Where is he bought? You have a size 38? What are you going to say? You want a size 38? Do you have a redhead? Do you have a larger size? Do you see my point? This is something you cannot ignore, and if you will just mentally listen to today, in the process of selling your day's work, I'll bet you could at least five of these opportunities that you muffed today. Now that's closing.
When I first heard that concept, I was so nervous back when I started in sales that I had a hard time even hearing what they were saying, let alone analyzing my next move. And that's why I had to play a game with this technique that Doug just covered. And that was to call the technique the porcupine, which meant that I was going to pretend when they asked me a question that they threw a porcupine in my lap. And I'd visualize that, and I know I'd want to throw it back. So when they ask you the right type of question, you answer it with a question, and when they agree, you'll then say, "Let me make a note of that." And now you move onto your paperwork and go into the final closing sequence. It's one we miss every day. Be sensitive to it. Play a game with it. And outside of selling situations in your day-to-day life, try answering a question with a question and increase your skill level in this art form, because whoever asked the last question is in control of the conversation, aren't they?
Tonight, with the best of my ability, I've tried to provide you with the most essential single skill you need, the skill of closing. Now, what's going to happen? I know. You're going to walk out of here and you're going to talk about this meeting and we had a few chuckles together and I yelled at you and you'll never forget, shut up. But all but about four of the operative salesmen sitting in this room tonight, tomorrow morning you're going to say to themselves, well, I'll start doing that next Monday morning. I'll start using some of that stuff Monday. Or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or next month, or right after the first of the year. And the minute that you've made the declaration, you are and will remain a peon. Thank you very, very much.
Let me finish this program by adding something that I think is very important. I'm sure you can really sense that this was recorded over a quarter ago. And for the women who are listening, I want you to know that in the 50s, there were very few women who chose the profession of selling. We were all called salesmen. So don't be upset. Be understanding that we are in a new world where both men and women have taken tremendous roles in the profession of selling. And don't turn off the ideas because of possibly old vocabulary of the past. So let's move on to the next session. I think you're going to love it.
This is the end of this tape. The program continues on the next tape.